भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 27 एंटाइटल्ड Indra and Surabhi offers prayers. Text number 12 to 14. So we'll read text 12. Mayidam Bhagavan Goshta Nashayasara Vayubhi चेष्टितं विहते यज्ञे मानिना तीव्र मन्युना मैदं भगवन् गोष्ठ नाशायाशर्वायुभि चेष्टितं विहते यज्ञे मानिना तीव्र मन्युना मैदं भगवन् गोष्ठ नाशाया सार्वायुभि चेष्टितं विहते यज्ञे मानिना तीव्र मन्युना मैदं भगवन् गोष्ठ नाशाया सर्वायुभि चेष्टितं विहते यज्ञे मानिना तीव्र मन्युना नाशाया सर्वायुभि मैदं भगवन् Mataji's Maya by me idam this Bhagavan, O Lord, Goshtha of your cowherd community, Nashaye for the destruction, Asar by hard rain, Vayubihi and wind, Cheshtitam enacted, Vihate when it was disrupted. Yagye, my sacrifice. Manina, by me, who was falsely proud. Tivra, fierce. Manyuna, whose anger. Translation. My dear Lord, when my sacrifice was disrupted, I became fiercely angry because of false pride. Thus, I tried to destroy your cowherd community with severe rain and wind. So there is no purport to this. We will read text 13 and text 14 also. Text 13.
Tasya anugrihato smi dvasta stamba vrithodyamaha ishvaram gurum atmanam tvam aham sharanam gataha.
O Lord, you have shown mercy to me by shattering my false pride and defeating my attempt to punish Vrindavan. To you, the Supreme Lord, the Spiritual Master, and the Supreme Soul, I have now come for shelter.
Text 14. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Sankirtataha Krishno Magho Na Bhagavan Amum Mega Ghambhireya Vacha Prahasan Idam Abravet.
Shukadeva Goswami said, thus glorified by Indra, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiled and then spoke to him as follows in a voice resonant like the clouds. Purport. Although in this pastime Lord Krishna appeared to be a small boy, the word Megha Gambhirya Vacha indicates that he spoke to Indra with the deep resonant voice of the Supreme Lord.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksharon Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatham Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Vandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that I can speak something on this subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this beautiful chapter which we are reading, Indra and Surabhi offers prayers. So we are reading these beautiful prayers of Sri Indraji, which he is offering after when his pride was thrashed, or when his pride was crushed, when his mountain of pride was crushed by Krishna by lifting Sri Giriraj. And after that, when Indra approaches Krishna along with Surabhi Devi, he offers these wonderful prayers of his heartfelt realization. As we were reading in the previous prayers, Indra establishes or refers to Krishna as all pure, all supreme, who is beyond the modes. So he offers wonderful prayers in actual understanding of Krishna's form, which he previously mistook, but now he was in these verses, he glorifies Krishna's form and he explains how Krishna is beyond the three modes. And now in this particular view and this verse and the next few verses, he offers his remorse that how, because of his false pride, he actually did this mistake, and he's offering these wonderful prayers. So that we see in the Bhagavatam there are wonderful, many wonderful prayers by different devotees, by different personalities. So that is the theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We can learn wonderful lessons from these prayers of Sri Indra. And also, as Sripad Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, describing the various qualities of Krishna, he mentions that one of the quality of Krishna is, he is all honorable. That means he is being offered honor or worship or prayers by various demigods like Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Varun, Surya. This is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that when Krishna was in Dwaraka, many of these demigods, Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, then Indra Dev, they would come and offer prayers and they would come to visit Krishna. And Krishna would be busy, and the doorkeepers who were there, who were guarding, and they would sometimes tell, "Oh Brahmaji, please have a seat. Oh Lord Shiva, please have a seat. Krishna is very busy." And one time when Indra was there, he was offering prayers and he was reciting his prayers, waiting for to see, take darshan of Krishna. And the doorkeeper said, "Please be silent, it is disturbing our job." So that is the position of Krishna. He is all honorable, worthy of Uttama Shloka, who is the true personality, who is worth glorifying and hearing his glories. So these wonderful prayers. So these three verses, we'll just briefly see each of these verses one by one. So in this verse, text 12, Indra is saying, "My dear Lord, when my sacrifice was disrupted, I became fiercely angry because of false pride. Thus, I tried to destroy your cowherd community with severe rain and wind." So for our purification, we'll just discuss briefly. Of course, devotees can speak for hours on just one subject matter of false pride or anger. And we heard beautiful classes on forgiveness yesterday. So wonderful classes, but just briefly touching some of the points which Indra is mentioning. He's saying, because of the sacrifice which was thwarted, which was stopped by Krishna, I felt greatly insulted, I felt fiercely angry. That's what he is mentioning. So that's the nature of false pride. That when anything which comes, which kills or which stops or which prevents our desires to be fulfilled, our pride is questioned. It is, if we have that desire that we should be recognized or we should get some glorification or we should get some form of respect, when that is stopped, when that is thwarted, its natural result in the conditioned state is that anger arises. That's what is happening here with Indra. He was worshipped by all, everyone, and just a small community probably at that time of the Brajabasis stopped worshipping and he became so angry. So that is the nature of pride. As Radhanath Maharaj many times mentioned, that the pride itself, the coming of pride, arising of pride in a devotee is itself the fall down. What comes is the details, which will vary as per different devotees, different circumstances. So we will have pride and then natural consequence. It's just a matter of time. If somebody is proud, if we are proud of our abilities, our capacities, our any talents which are given by Krishna, this is natural that it will result in anger, frustration of the pride or of our aspirations. And then the natural process of fall down is guaranteed. So that is the power of pride. It blinds. It blinds. One doesn't realize what he is doing. Indra here also, out of false pride, he is attacking his own master's community, as he is mentioning, Bhagavan Ghoshta, that I am destroying your own community, my Lord. He intended to destroy Krishna's own community. That is the nature of pride. One becomes blind to the reality. That is blinding. There are different types of blinding. One can be blind physically. One can be blind because of pride. One can be blind because of envy. One can become blind because of dhana, the wealth, opulence. So that's what had made Indra blind. He was seeing Vrindavan. He was seeing Krishna performing wonderful leelas, but he was not able to see. He was blinded. That is the nature of pride in this material world. As practicing sadhakas also, that tendency is natural in this world. Just recently in the farm, one of the devotees in the Bhagavatam class was mentioning about upadhis. Different designations we get. It is so natural and so common in this material world to get upadhis very easily. We do some service even in practicing sadhakas also. Somebody does some service, somebody sings nicely, somebody gives class nicely, or somebody, then people will come, oh, you gave such wonderful class, you gave such wonderful, you sung wonderful kirtan, or you did such wonderful painting, or did such wonderful service. So many, many upadhis we keep accumulating in a period of our performance of devotional service, which is, that's the nature of this world. Somebody's like a big manager, somebody's a cook, somebody's a driver. So every upadhi, these are different upadhis which we keep gathering. And with every upadhi comes the potential pride, seed of pride, which eventually fructifies and then results in anger and then, of course, the process of downfall, as it happened with Indra. Fortunately, Krishna personally, as Krishna does, that is, Krishna personally take care of his devotees, as he explains. Herein, in case of Indra, Krishna personally protected. So that is the nature of the pride. We are also, as practicing sadhakas, we get some position, as with the period of time, some position, we will get some respect, some glory. So that is like a small Indras in our own kingdoms. We are like Indra has a big kingdom with big following, big wealth, big opulences. To that degree, devotees or as outside, anyone who is there, we will get different upadhis, different kingdoms, different areas of influence. Indra has a huge area of influence. We may have a small areas of influence. But then that pride, as soon as that pride comes, that fire, it's like fire that burns, and then natural consequences, offense, and then that progress, that hampers our progress in devotional service. So it manifested as Indra is saying here, that his pride manifested by throwing rains and severe wind, whatever control he had. So in our cases, whatever controls we have, sometimes harsh speech, sometimes you want to hurt someone, sometimes you don't want to speak with someone, or express our pride or anger in different ways. Different vents are there, depending upon our own areas of influence are there. So therefore, eventually, as Krishna explains, or is it explained, the scripture, sarva upadhi vinirmuktam, that we have to give up all these upadhis and designations, which are all temporary. The only upadhi which is eternal, or which is true identity of a living entity, is Krishna Nitya Das. So that is our ultimate goal, is to give up all other upadhis, identities, eventually, and then realize that this is our natural or true identity, is Krishna Nitya Das. So that is what we have to aspire for, is to give up all these upadhis which have the potential seed of pride in it, to give up all those upadhis and offer these upadhis to Krishna, who is worthy of all these qualities which are exhibited. So that is the point which Indra is teaching through his example. And when we see someone who has given up these upadhis, and one who has realized that he is actually Krishna Nitya Das, how he responds to the situations. Well, like we see in the example of Maharaj Parikshit, when he was cursed, he did not become angry, he did not respond. In one sense, all his possessions being cursed to die means all your possessions were being killed, taken away. That was the end of his life. And how Parikshit responded, being very grateful to the Lord for that. And then accepting that curse is mercy of the Lord and went to hear the glories of the Lord and chanting the glories of the Lord. So that is the difference. He did not identify himself as the ruler. He was the ruler, but serving as Krishna's representative, serving as on behalf of Krishna, as given qualities given by Krishna. So that was Maharaj Parikshit. Of course, it is very, very difficult to give up these upadhis, but that's the process. I remember when we were in studying in the college, there used to be a t-shirt by the computer science departments. They would write, they had a big written on their front of the t-shirts, "It is difficult to be humble when you know you are the best." That's the nature of this world. So that's what... So that's what the world is teaching all around. So the whole environment around is surcharged with that. That keep gathering different upadhis, feathers. So the more number of upadhis, the more glorious you are, the more bigger Indra you are. And of course, the bigger the Indra, the bigger harm which one can do. As many times we have heard from devotees, that Indra being the devotee, he could do the maximum harm, potentially. Many demons would come, they would attack Krishna. But Indra had the potential, he had the desire, he had the potential to destroy the whole of Vrindavan with all his devotees and all the cows and all the Brajabasis. So therefore, as outside world, it's important to be careful of pride and all these anarthas. But as practicing sadhakas, as advancing devotees, as we progress, it becomes more important for us, actually. Because potentially we can do the maximum harm because of pride in the society. So that is... So we have to offer all these qualities to Krishna, these upadhis, this glorification to Krishna. Unlimited qualities Krishna has. All the qualities which are there in every living entity, as Krishna explained, sprung in as a spark of his splendor. That is all the qualities of Krishna. As it is described by one poet, that if the earth, the whole earth were powdered and made into a paper, somebody does that, the whole earth is crowded and you make a paper out of it and take all the oceans and make an ink of it and run to write the glories of Krishna or glorify Krishna, write prayers of Krishna, it would not suffice. Either the ink will get over or the paper will get over. That is Krishna. Of course, to put in today's term, whatever somebody may have, that megabyte or terabyte or gigabyte of memory to store Krishna's glories, all that will not suffice. You can have all the hard disks available in this whole entire universe, but still it will be short. No disk space. That is Krishna's unlimited qualities and unlimited glories. So pride has to be there, but in Krishna, in his qualities, in his position, that is what we have to see. All famous, as Rupa Goswami describes, one of the qualities of Krishna is all famous. One whose fame is like the moon, it spreads like a moonshine and whitens and purifies everything. As Prabhupada explained in the purport, that when Krishna's fame spread, it's like a white moonshine. It purifies everything. So then Prabhupada explained that when Krishna's glories are sung or recited, the contamination of this material world will be wiped away. The Bhaktir Samrit Sindhu, Prabhupada explains in this, that one time when Narada Muni, he was singing the glories of Krishna. He was singing the glories of Krishna and Lord Shiva was hearing those glories, and his blue mark which was there, that becomes white. And Parvati Devi, she couldn't recognize, she thought probably somebody else has come as Lord Shiva, and she began to run. That is the power of Krishna's glory. It brightens, purifies. Even Lord Brahma, his meditation is broken. Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, all of them, they are completely absorbed in hearing. And Anantadev, what to speak of Anantadev? Anantadev with Ananta mouth from Ananta time, he's speaking about Krishna's glory. Still no end. So we can never, that is, sufficiently glorify. So it is because of our limitations we are unable to glorify sufficiently. When we are purified, then we can actually glorify. The bird which is light because of less sins, that can fly high, high, high in the sky. To reach high, high, to see the glories of Krishna, to speak the glories of Krishna. unfortunately, because of our sins, it's too heavy. We cannot fly high to see the glories of Krishna. Somebody who is light, who is free of sins, who is pure, they can actually see Krishna's glories everywhere in the whole creation. Everything they see Krishna's glory. This is what which actually should stun us, Krishna's wonderful glories. We are astonished by seeing the creations of this world, the magics of the scientists, the creating wonderful gadgets, the phones, and the so many things, the medical science, so many things are fascinating. But this is, but we should be fascinated by Krishna's glory. I remember last time when I was at home, my mother was operated and they were explaining how they do the operation. So they actually freeze the heart and put the heart on the body on a heart-lung machine and then perform the surgery. So that is the achievement of the scientists and so many advanced technologies, the iPhones, the latest coming. So these technologies fascinate us. But actually what should fascinate us, the creator of the scientists, the mind, the one who created the mind of these scientists. That is the Supreme Lord Sri Hari. We can imagine how powerful, how intelligent, how knowledgeable that Supreme Lord will be. That should actually fascinate us rather than the things of this world. That is what is. That is the wonderful qualities of Krishna. Sri Rupa Goswami describes one of the qualities of Krishna is grateful. He's grateful. He describes that one who, Draupadi, giving the example of Draupadi, in the arena where she was being about to be disrobed, when she cried out for Hey Govinda, Hey Krishna, Krishna was grateful for those names which she chanted. And Prabhupada explained that Krishna is grateful when somebody chants. Krishna is very, very happy. So that is our hope, that when we chant the names of Krishna, He is very, very grateful. He is very, very happy. He is very, very joyful. I don't know from which Puran is this, but my grandfather would say this, that whenever somebody chants, what to speak of chanting Radharani's name, he would say, somebody says Ra, Krishna becomes eager to hear. That Krishna is eager to hear, maybe he's going to say Radharani's name. He's grateful. And then when he hears Dha, he starts running towards that devotee. Dhavati, he runs towards that devotee. So that is what is Krishna's gratitude, Krishna's eagerness to serve His devotees. So that is, He is the real hero. Krishna is the real heroic personality. When He was in the fighting with Jarasandha, for 17 times He fought with Jarasandha. Valiantly, He would come with some thousands and millions of soldiers, 30 Nakshonis every time. He would gather, come, challenge Krishna, and Krishna would defeat very, very simply. Not even one soldier of Krishna's army would get affected. That is Krishna's heroism. So this should affect us actually. In the whole this Govardhan Leela also, Indra is trying, as we will read in the next verse, Indra is trying his best, showering the most powerful of his clouds, the most powerful, fiercest of the winds, himself coming behind with thunderbolts to attack Sri Brajabhumi. And when Krishna lifted Govardhan, not even a blade of grass was affected. That is Krishna's heroism. That is Krishna, the supreme hero. Anyways, so then in the next verse, verse number 13, Indra is praying beautiful prayers. So after glorifying Krishna, and after expressing his position that I, because of false pride, he is begging for mercy now. O Lord, you have shown mercy to me by shattering my false pride and defeating my attempt to punish Vrindavan. To you, the Supreme Lord, the spiritual master, super soul, I have come for shelter. So Indra is teaching through his wonderful prayers in this beautiful verse. He is saying, this is Indra's beautiful prayers, is saying that you have shown me mercy, tasya esh anugrahit asmi, that you have showered anugraha, you have bestowed your causeless mercy, you have given your kripa, because of which I am able to understand or realize your position now. You have shattered my pride. So that is the fortune of Indra that he could understand. Krishna is Karuna Sindhu, the ocean of mercy. It's a huge ocean, unlimited ocean, more, much, much bigger than the oceans of this world is Karuna Sindhu, the ocean of mercy, Krishna's compassion. Of course, his compassion comes to different people in different ways. It's individualistic approach. For Indra, he had to be brought down, he had to be crushed. For us, it may come in a different way. But the fortune or the mercy, the real mercy is when you are able to actually understand that this is Krishna's mercy. That was the glory of Indra, his position. That he could realize that this is Krishna's mercy, that I could understand that Krishna's chastisement is his mercy. That is the quality of devotee. We see in the episode of Kaliya also, when Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, the soft lotus-like feet of Krishna, which were like acting like thunderbolt on Kaliya. He was being punished, pulverized, his blood being vomited. But when the Nagapatinis come, they are grateful. My dear Lord, you have bestowed great mercy on our husband, the serpent. These lotus feet, which are not achieved even by Lord Shiva, even Brahma, and the other great demigods are there on the head of this serpent Kaliya. So that was the glory of the devotees. They can see in the punishment or in any situation Krishna's hand, Krishna's glory. That is what Indra is seeing here. That this is your anugraha, my dear Lord. That is Krishna. And that is what actually is Indra teaching through his example. And many wonderful lessons were spoken on this episode, and one of that which comes to my mind was Gauranga Prabhu was mentioning about how Krishna dealt with Indra. He is a devotee, he did perform a mistake, but how mercifully Krishna actually forgave Indra. And through these pastimes, that's what we can learn, how Krishna actually sees the world and how he deals with this world. So that is what Krishna consciousness is all about. Krishna consciousness, of course, one meaning is to see Krishna everywhere, to see Krishna in everything, to see Krishna in our lives. But another way to see it is to see the world as how Krishna sees it, or to see the situation how Krishna sees the situation. That is Krishna consciousness. Or how the Guru sees the situation, how Guru wants it for us. So that is what Krishna consciousness is, how the Guru wants us to act, how Krishna wants, or how Krishna acts in a particular situation, how Krishna deals with a particular situation where a person who had come to destroy his own people, how Krishna dealt with it. So that is, through this pastime we can learn, that is what is Krishna consciousness, how Krishna so lovingly, so mercifully dealt, and how Krishna's mercy will come. It is by one becomes very, very grateful with a grateful heart. Then only one can understand. Because it is very, very specific, individualistic, as you were saying. It's pretty, very, very tailor-made. For every person, there is a different package of Krishna's purification. That is, Krishna is all good. One of the qualities is all auspicious, all good, all auspicious. Krishna can never do wrong to anyone. That is not in his nature. That is not his swabhava. So if we have that faith, then we can see everything which is happening in our lives as Krishna's mercy or Krishna's kindness. Of course, it is very, very difficult to see that. But that is our aspiration, our goal. To have that complete faith in Krishna's qualities, in Krishna's quality, that he is all auspicious. He can never do harm to anyone. That is not possible for him. So whatever he does, sometimes he slaps, sometimes he chastises, sometimes he throws us, sometimes beats us. But if we can see that as Krishna's mercy, because that is what Krishna is always thinking about. That is Krishna's job. As one that famous story is there, one time one king asked, so what is God's job to all the people in the assembly? So one of them said that, please get down, then I'll answer. And then he gets down and then that sage climbs up. This is what Krishna is doing, bringing down those people who are pride and bringing up those people who who are humble. So that is Krishna's job. How he does, the way he does is different. As even in like those who have no Ayurveda, different prakritis everyone has. So spiritual prakritis are also different. So different as per one's the doshas, as per one's situations, how much his digestive capacity is there. So depending on that, the medicine is offered. So similarly, when Krishna's mercy is offered as per those, as per as one's digestive ability, as per as one individual doshas. So we cannot say that, oh, Indra got his mercy because he offended the Brajabasis. He tried to offend. So if I go ahead and do that, I will also probably get Krishna's mercy. Probably Krishna will lift Govardhan for me. No. We'll be crushed down with our own anarthas. So that is... So there is no set formula that we can get Krishna's mercy by like this, as Indra is saying. It is, Krishna is Swarat, independent. How he bestows, it's up to him. That is, we cannot demand from Krishna. That is Krishna. And then in this verse, Indra is saying, Tava ish anugraha asmi dvasta stamb vritha udyamaha, my fruitless endeavor. And then I saying, this was my fruitless endeavor to destroy your Brajabasis. So that is Krishna, as Krishna always promises in the Bhagavad Gita, that he always protects his devotees. So there is never a situation where any harm can be caused to devotees. Even Indra, Brahma, whoever may come, even they cannot harm. If somebody is protected by Krishna, Rakhe Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rakeke. If Krishna is protecting someone, nobody can. If Krishna is protecting someone, nobody can do any harm to that person. That is Krishna's promise. That is Krishna. Even when Brahmaji, he was there, apparently he took all the cows and all the cowherd friends, but the Acharyas explains that Brahmaji cannot touch even Krishna's calves. So they were the Maya Arabhaka, the Maya children which were there, which Brahmaji took. Even in the episode of the kidnapping of Sri Rukmini Devi, when Rukmini Devi is going to offer her puja to Ambika, Sudarga Devi praying to her for Krishna to come, as to get Krishna as the husband. And when she is on her way back, she is thinking Krishna has not yet come. So that is how Krishna reciprocates sometimes at the last minute. Like in case of Draupadi also, at the last minute, she was trying, calling out to different people, but then Krishna came at the last minute. That is Krishna's Swarat nature. So here then, Rukmini Devi is there. Of course, the point we were making was, then Rukmini Devi was there, she comes and she's desperate, where is Krishna, when is Krishna coming? So with her hands, she removes her hair to see Krishna's, if Krishna is there. And the Acharyas describes that all those, the Shishupal and all those kings who had assembled, they were actually seeing the beauty of Rukmini Devi, and they were, some of them were fainting from their horses, some they're fainting from elephants. So the Acharyas explain that nobody can actually lust over Krishna's internal potency. It was Maya form which they were seeing. So as the point, as Indradev is saying here, Vritha Udyama. So we can never harm Krishna or his devotees. They are always under Krishna's divine protection. So that is Krishna's promise and divine protection which is there. He's always, one of the qualities of Krishna, he's always partial to his devotees. He's impartial, but he's partial to his devotees. That is his love for his devotees. That is Supreme Lord Krishna. And then Indra is explaining here, Tava ish anugritasmi dvast stamb vrithudyama ishvaram gurum atmanam. Indra is addressing Krishna as ishvaram gurum and atmanam. Indra is telling that you are the real Indra, you are the real Ishwar, you are the real controller, O my masters. In this way, Indra is offering beautiful prayers. He's saying, you are the real Guru. As a Guru has the responsibility to teach his disciples a lesson, to correct his disciples in their progressive path, Indra is telling, you are my Guru, my dear Lord, my dear Krishna. You are the supreme Ishwar. You are the supreme Guru. You are And it is my great fortune, Indra is expressing here, that I have been corrected by you. You are the real Guru who is chastising. So that is the duty of the Guru, to chastise, to train his disciples. That was his, Krishna is doing to Sri Indra. And then he's saying, Atmanam, and the Acharyas translate as, to you the Supreme Lord, the Spiritual Master, and the Supreme Soul. As the Supreme Soul, Krishna is all-pervading, all-knowing. That is Krishna's all-knowing nature. Indra is saying, Indra was proud, and Krishna could sense that pride. That is Krishna's processor. He is all-knowing. Whatever is happening in every individual's heart, every individual living entity's heart, at every moment of the time, in the past, in the present, and in the future, Krishna can process all that information. That is Krishna's processor's capacity. No processors of this world, the RAMs of this world, can suffice and actually collect this data. Nobody can fathom even. Every individual, even a blade of grass, everyone who is sitting here, Krishna knows what is going in our heart, in the past, present, and in the future. That is Krishna's super processor. Nobody can match that, Krishna's processing values, the RAM of Krishna. So that is what, actually, otherwise the processors of this world, if too much data is there, especially when you try those railway sites of different size, too many people logging in and too many datas are there, they all hang up. So this is actually what should hang us up. Wow, Krishna's glory, Krishna as Sarvatma, as the Super Soul, he is knowing what is there in my heart now, at every moment. That is what Indra is mentioning here in this verse. And then he is saying, Tvam Aham Sharanam Gatah. That is the beautiful conclusion of which Indra Dev is offering here. Tvam Aham Sharanam Gatah. So that is Indra is teaching through his example. Whatever mistake, as Sri Damabhu was mentioning, to err is human and demigods. So demigod did a mistake, but as devotee, what is the conclusion or the bottom line is, Aham Sharanam Gatah. That is our shelter. We have been offending Krishna for lifetimes. We are offending now. But that is Krishna's promise, that he will always protect his devotees. That is what devotee does. That is our hope. I think it was Mahapurna with his disciples who was there in the forest. And when he saw a hunter who was hunting different animals, not sure if it is Mahapurna, but he was seeing a hunter who was hunting different animals. And then a rabbit, a small animal creature, very dear rabbit, he comes near the feet of the hunter, and the hunter sees that rabbit and he leaves him. And seeing this, the Mahapurna faints. And then his disciples take him and then they wake him up. What happened, my dear Lord? You just saw a hunter. So that is the vision of the devotee. He could see that just a simple, not a simple, a cruel hunter, just by someone who has come to his feet to take shelter, he just left him. Even though he has not taken a promise, unlike Krishna, who has taken a vow, who has taken a promise that I will protect my devotees, I will protect, even if somebody once says, as Lord Ram says, that even if somebody once says that I will protect you, if even somebody comes once and says that I am yours, I will protect you. That is Krishna's promise. That is Krishna's nature. He's all forgiving. That is our hope, that all forgiving nature of Krishna is our hope. We can always go back to Krishna. My dear Lord, sometimes when we offend someone, we fear that probably he will forgive or not. But Rupa Goswami describes one of the qualities of Krishna is all forgiving. He is all forgiving at any time. And he quotes Sripad Yamunacharya. Of course, before that he quotes the example of Shishupal. He was born criticizing Krishna. That's how his birth was. Rather than crying, he was offending Krishna all the time. All the time. Whenever he would see Krishna, he would insult, he would demean Krishna's position. That was his. And even in previous lives also, in three lifetimes, he was actually all the time criticizing Krishna, offending Krishna. And Rupa Goswami explained that when he was there in Rajasu Yagya, when he was offending Krishna, Krishna was very peacefully standing, and all the Bhima and all the other, they were ready to pounce upon Shishupal and kill him. Krishna was saying, no, 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 forgive him, forgive him. That is Krishna's. And when Krishna killed him, his body actually merged in the body of the Lord. That is the mercy, that is the all-forgiving mercy of Krishna. Rupa Goswami Pad quotes the example of Sri Yamunacharya. He gives the example that even when Lord Ramchandra was there, then Indra, disguised as a crow, comes and sits or troubles Mother Sita on her breasts. And Lord Ram, she's like offending the universal mother. But then when he runs away, and then later on when he begs forgiveness, Lord Ram gives Abhayadan, gives forgiveness to him. Yamunacharya Pad says that Krishna is more merciful. Of course, they are non-different. But Krishna is more merciful. Shishupal offending constantly for lifetimes, that's the only thing he knew, offending Krishna. But Krishna forgave him, and at the same time, he merged. When he died, his soul merged in Krishna's body. So that is Krishna's all-forgiving nature. And we know Lord Chaitanya, even more merciful. All these personalities are the same. But all Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahavadanyai, that is our hope. So Lord Ram is merciful, Lord Krishna is merciful, Mahaprabhu is Mahavadanyai. And his devotees, those who are carrying his message, Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees, they are Mahavadanyai. They are the most merciful, going out and catching people and bringing them closer to Krishna. So that is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Somebody comes to the Lord, he gives Abhayadan. But the devotees are more merciful. They are going and catching. Hey, come to the lotus feet of Krishna. Come to the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the Mahavadanyai of Sri Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada and all his devotees. That's what we see from this wonderful episode and beautiful verse of Indradev, which he is offering, that I, Tvam Aham Sharanam Gatal. So that is our hope, that if we somehow come back to Sri Guru and Sri Krishna's lotus feet, the Abhayadan is guaranteed. Anyways, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Hare Krishna.